morning. I'd like to call to order the March 3rd meeting of the Bicycle Greenways and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And motion to adopt the agenda and comments.
Roll call.
Oh, roll call first, thanks. Roll call first.
Brenda Arnold.
Here.
Sally Shannon.
Here.
Alex Hanson.
Here.
Michael Ho.
Here.
Isaac Hoover.
Here.
Gene Matthews.
John Wilner.
Michael Owens. Aldo Prieto. Joy Purto.
Here.
Bob Sullivan.
Here.
Multisim Alter.
Neil Promote.
Amanda Harper.
Here.
We have a call.
Super. Okay, a motion to adopt the agenda.
So move.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Comments from the chair?
No, I'm sorry.
Motion to approve minutes, I'm sorry. It's really, really tough. I'm still not. They gave me a pair of cheaters and I can read and I can look up, but I can't do both of them. I'm going to get it all fixed soon. Motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now it's comments from the chair. Should we do that now or do we want to wait a bit?
If you have any comments, then I can.
Okay. I don't really have any comments myself today. I guess it's a bite month and we've got a lot of stuff going on. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
Yep.
So it's part of the bike pay for anyways report. I just want to kind of bring to light an addition and I guess a transition for us today, the PGPAC committee. So first I want to welcome Amanda Parker, and this is your first meeting representing Boynton Beach and Chris's seat. I also want to kind of shine a light to one of our longstanding members, Joy Prenta. This is her last meeting, or her last meeting with us today. So I just wanted to kind of do a walk through time. So we did this for Doug Hess yesterday in the tech meeting Nick did, and I really liked the idea. So I wanted to see your participation to the committee, and I was interested to see that the first time that we saw Joy Prenta show up at the Bike Pay Advisory Committee meeting was in 1995, which is very interesting. You were a alternate then.
A child alternate.
And so we see you again in 1996, and this is when you become the official member. And in 2003, Joy actually becomes vice chair, which is great. And in 2004, we see that Joy becomes chair of the committee. And then I like this statement from Joy. I think it shows that she was very forward thinking to talk to the county engineers and have them have a presentation called Bike Lanes and their application on arterial and collector streets. I like that idea even back in 2005. So so here's some other BGPAC facts. As I was going through some of the agendas, I thought it was very interesting that the first meeting of the BGPAC was in 1987, and at that time, the committee met at 10 a.m. In 1991, we changed that to 9 a.m. And in 1994, we found the sweet spot at 9:07 a.m. And it's been at 9:07 a.m. since then. But yeah, this committee couldn't be what it is without great members. So we thank members like Joy, and I apologize that I wasn't able to do this for Carice. But we want to thank you all for your service. And thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Close.
I'm trying to like figure out the.
Yeah, my official last day is April 1st. I'm actually leaving the same day as our traffic engineer.
Wow.
We were a team together and we're going out as a team. New people in the department.
My photo for my guys.
All right.
And you're still a member, right? So why are you sitting on the table?
Come on.
Your last meeting and you don't want to say that?
I'm sorry, question. Do you know who is going to be attending for BOCA?
Well, I have put it on, I was hoping to have a letter today. The alternate is going to be Mike Rigetti for now, and then once they replace that position, that person will be released.
Okay, and other news as the bike coordinator report? I do want to give everyone a reminder that our local initiatives and TA applications are due on April 1st. If you have any questions about the local initiatives process, feel free to call Luke Lambert. If you have any questions about the transportation alternatives program, feel free to contact me. On Monday, we sent out our first email newsletter. Just wanted to get a gauge of how many people were able to receive that. It was an email titled Transportation Matters. Did anyone see that? Kind of embedded, like, okay. So if you weren't able to receive it, let us know. We'll make sure that we're dispersing that information correctly. But we definitely want to kind of highlight some of the things that we're doing. I did want to review a list of the FDOT projects that are on the horizon. So as you may remember, Lisa Wan presented a list of projects that are coming up from FDOT's list. So I just wanted to bring that page back up so we can refresh the committee's memory. I'm going to send this out in PDF form. My apologies for not having done so far. Again, as we look through the schedule, we see projects that are listed in green and red. We want to kind of make a consideration of the projects that are in the red fields, in the green fields. Projects that are listed in red, their kind of scoping process has passed at this point, so we want to look forward. You still may be able to have those comments sent to you via ERC, but looking forward, you should probably see the those that are listed in green. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So if you have any projects that are in your jurisdiction that are on this list, this is an opportunity for you to kind of be aware of those and think, have a little kind of forethought. And Stuart, if you have any other comments towards about the list.
Sure. Thank you, Fran.
Sure.
Stuart Robertson with Kimley Horn on behalf of Lisa Mack at DOT District 4. Yeah, it's just a way of improving and streamlining the coordination so that members of stakeholder groups such as BGPAC and others are aware of upcoming projects. This is not new information. It's all included in FDOT's work program and the Transportation Improvement Program of the MPO, but it's just sort of a one-page look at the upcoming projects specific to Palm Beach County. So we felt like it's just kind of a streamlined way of getting out this information. So if there are any projects on the list that you see within your sphere of influence, I would encourage you to speak to someone. If you're either from a municipality, you probably have someone like the traffic engineer or city engineer from your municipality that actually participates in what's called the electronic review comment or ERC process. Some of you may even be in the ERC process for review. That's where you can provide specific comments and input on projects. But certainly, if you have feedback on particular items, the DOT representative attending your meetings can receive that information as well and take it back to Lisa Mack, who's serving as the interim bicycle, pedestrian, and complete streets coordinator for DOT. Thank you for the opportunity, Fran.
Yeah, I'm sorry, since we're talking about FDOT and the bike path coordinator, do we know the status of filling in that position on a permanent basis?
The position has not yet been filled, at least to my knowledge. I know that there has been an interview process, but other than that, I don't know exactly where it is.
And so I also wanted to introduce two members from Atulis International. So I just wanted to thank you for your presence here. As you know, BGPAC, we've been looking for a kind of more diverse membership, and Atulis International is a group of hand cyclists. So we're glad to have them engaged today and hope to see them continue. And that concludes my comments for you.
Now we'll get into action items and recommend a motion to recommend transmittal of the unified planning work program.
I'm sorry.
Public comments. I'm sorry. Do we have anybody here with any public comments yet? We don't have any cards, do we? So then we can go into the motion to recommend transmittal of the unified work plan.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Wagner. I'm with Marlin Engineering, working for the Palm Beach MPO for the development of their unified planning work program, the UPWP. Some folks call it the UPWA. It covers fiscal years 2017 and 2018. That's according to the state calendar. So it begins on July 1, 2016, and actually goes to June 30th of 2018. I'm just going to give you a very brief presentation. The focus of today, though, is to let you know that you can have input into this document. The first time the MPO issued a call for ideas on how and what work activities, planning activities, they should be doing in the next 2 years. The MPO receives federal funding, and with federal funds comes required processes and documents. Basically, your primary document is your 20-year long-range transportation plan. You adopted that about 18 months ago, the year 2040 plan. It's a 20-year plan. And then you have your 5-year plan that actually implements and builds your 20-year plan. This is where your capital dollars are programmed and budgeted. The UPWP is the budget for your planning dollars that result in a long-range plan and then the 5-year plan. It's a constant dynamic cycle. The requirements for the UPWP are, there's suggested formats from the state and from the federal government, but they can't tell you how to format your document. But it is required to identify categories of work types, the cost of the work activities, a schedule, and the products, and who the responsible agency is. This UPWP has 5 categories. Administer the agency, and this is really the function for human resources, career development of staff, providing staff the tools and the training they need to perform the duties. Engaging the public, this is very important in federal statute in particular, but this is where you go out and reach out to the public, engage the public, educate them on the MPO process and documents, try to get people to come to the meetings. But I think of note, in the 2015 federal certification, where the federal government actually comes down and recertifies you, it was a notable practice for how well the Palm Beach MPO goes out into the community, engages with local agencies, goes to events, and tries to get people in a comfortable and professional setting and describe to them what this process is and to please get engaged. Planning the system, this is the biggest part of the UPWP. This is where you do your long-range transportation planning. This period does cover the beginning of your next long-range plan, your 2045 plan. Actually, there'll be a request for proposals in the summer of 2017. But prior to that, in the next year and a half or so, you'll be updating the socioeconomic data that goes into the transportation model and getting ready for that. Also, 2 years from now, you'll be creating your next UPWP. Programming the funds. This is where you take the plan projects and get them in place in the capital program. That's your transportation improvement program. This is also where you receive the local initiatives applications, review and award funds on an annual basis. Also the federal grants, the transportation, the TAP program, safe routes to school applications, et cetera. Improve the experience. I think this is a particularly a depth for you all to take a look at and make some suggestions. This is where Nick and Renee wanted to focus on improving the quality of transportation projects. That's where we talk about complete streets, initiating bicycle and pedestrian facilities in all projects, greenway planning, expanding your bicycle and pedestrian database on your new accounts. I mean, good planning means good data, and that's something the whole industry is lacking. So if you could take a look at these areas, we're really seeking some input. The schedule is, we want March 17th to recommend transmittal to DOT and FHWA for their review. The document remains open for comment. Through April, we'll be gathering input from y'all. We want to have the package, the final, ready for the May agenda packages to go to the board, because the board needs to approve this, and it needs to be in effect on July 1. But you still have a good 5 or 6 weeks to take a look at the document. Renee Cross is the point of contact. You can contact her by email or telephone. The website also includes in the form section a simple form that talks about the UPWP, what it is, and you can recommend planning projects. To date, we've gotten just a few suggestions. I would say that, we've gotten from Boynton Beach some requests for specific projects. That's more appropriate for the local initiatives program. This is about the planning process. Institute a master plan for greenways in Palm Beach County. Planning processes that come up with projects for implementation. So I think if you take a look at the document, that core section on work activities, you can see some, and I'm sure you folks are typically very good advocates, that you can come up with some ideas to add to the program. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
I brought up the issue and yesterday when Nick clarified about the updates to the bicycle, to the countywide bicycle master plan. Nick indicated that that process was actually done, ongoing. Something that I did notice, and maybe has to do, we can put it as part of my comments on the improved experience. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to the website to look for the master plan, for the bike master plan. I could not find it. I searched again. I could not find it. Maybe somewhere, but again, if it is not easy to find, especially for somebody who knows how it looks like, knows what the title is, so maybe, again, that's a comment on improved experience. I went to plans and documents. I went to the bicycle pedestrian section, and maybe somewhere there, but again, it's not an in-your-face, here it is, the adopted bicycle plan for the MPO.
And you're looking for the document itself and not the set of maps?
I was looking for everything. Okay. I could not find. I realized later on, I know Evan talked to you, that the website, the route banner is no longer there, mm-hmm. but I initially started looking for the document, and I know the format of the website changed. I was able to find it 2 months ago with the old format. I found it easily. I was not able to find it now. And again, I presume it's somewhere there. It's just that it wasn't in the places where I thought it would be.
Okay.
So just again, from
we'll try and make that more visible.
improved experience type of comment on the.
Is there any interest with also the other municipalities of an increase of scooter driving and golf cart driving on our roadways and how they're impacting the so-called complete streets? Do you see any rise in scooters and golf carts and how they mesh into the streets? I was just wondering if that would be a part of a planning.
Yeah, I think more of Segways and now the new hoverboards perhaps the last decade and the need to maybe try and separate those kind of uses. Scooters, I would think golf carts, no, but you know, if it's becoming an issue, it certainly is something that you can plan for.
Yeah, and I think it comes down also to the laws and the municipalities, like they might prohibit, you know, like it to be, you know, prohibited to be on the road or, you know, the Hoover boards or
right.
Segway, you know, it's kind of, that may fall into place, you know, if it's more of a safety hazard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're seeing an uptick in Delray that people are taking their own little private scooters and golf carts for just local, you know, short term. Yeah, exactly.
The other thing, like recent, is the desire to have the electric taxis and how that's can be integrated into the system.
Electric taxis.
Yes. What we've seen is as the service becomes available, more and more the residents want it because they don't have to deal with parking or traffic or any of those things. So it's becoming more prevalent in our area also. So we're seeing this demand.
Electric taxis different than other taxis?
Yes.
They're like open air, like little carts that like take you for short trips. Like in Miami Beach, there's a bunch.
Delray's got that.
Right.
Palm Beach has.
Yeah, it's like a big golf cart.
Yeah,
like a six.
But they're starting to really proliferate because people are leaving their cars at home. And the population is getting older and they kind of like having the ability to get on one of those carts and not have to worry about driving at night when they can't see or dealing with trying to find parking or just the fact that it goes from their front door to their point of destination's front door. So we see that as becoming on the horizon for us, along with the golf carts and the little scooters. The scooters are starting to show up pretty prevalent now.
The big issue with the scooters is that they can't keep up very high speed.
The speed limit.
Yes. And then they don't belong over in the bike line.
Correct.
Or in the
or in the traffic lane if they're on, if they can't get the speed limit.
Yeah. I don't know what the law is for scooters in the travel lane.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. Like I think it's kind of based on municipality, like on what their law is for that road. You know how some municipalities prohibit bicycles on the sidewalk per their ordinance because there's a lot of accidents that happen on the sidewalk, but it's kind of more of a municipality. But those taxis that are like open air and they're kind of like a golf cart, they're usually in places that are low speed limit with high density of walkers and pedestrians because there's lots of points of interest because they just kind of like pick up people as they go, like weigh you down, kind of like a trolley. So it doesn't usually end up being too much of an issue because it's just kind of traveling at the same speed of cars. It's an area that's not like 60 miles an hour, you know, it's more of like 30 miles, if that, you know, because there's like, it's a very pedestrian environment.
Mm-hmm. And crossing of intersections that are six lanes sometimes, four lanes. I mean, there's other issues than just being in the lane.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get them across?
Sally, do you have something? Mm-hmm. Anything else? Oh, sorry.
No, I think the golf carts, I mean, they're allowed to go on the road as long as they have license plates and they can drive on a road
has
30 miles per hour and under. And if they're on other roads, then it's the police that has to enforce it. And then GoPeds aren't allowed, unless they change the statute, GoPeds aren't allowed on sidewalks or the street. They're like totally illegal.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. But they can sell them. You can sell them, but you can't ride them anywhere.
That's
a big farm somewhere.
Like those Vesper things.
What?
That's
those little Vesper.
Yeah, is that a moped? That's what I have.
It's a moped.
And it's 30 miles an hour. Well, not PMK.
For golf carts, it's under a slow vehicle or something.
Okay. And it has to be speed limit stated
miles an hour or less?
Yeah.
35?
No, 35 I don't think can be done. It's gotta be, I might be wrong with that. I think it's 30, I think.
That's interesting.
We've also seen some studies in, I think, our neighbors to the north, Tampa and Orlando, for golf carts, they've expanded some of their shared use paths to 16 feet to allow for those vehicles to use that space.
That's a quick question. I'm not sure Jeff would be there. When do we expect to see the final document come back to us?
The May round of meetings.
Okay.
So it'll be your May meeting, we'll be back again. I don't know if you know this, Alex, but the schedule changed from yesterday. I would need to warn up to these people. It was going to be going to board in June. The May is going to be, we need to move it up a month. But still, we can leave a document open for a good 5 to 6 weeks. Want to have it in your agenda package, so we'll leave it as a final document.
I guess ready for complete streets discussion?
Yeah, hold on. We need a
motion. We need a motion. A motion, okay. We need a motion to approve the...
I make a motion to recommend transmittal of the draft fiscal year 17 and 18 unified planning work program.
Yes. Any further discussion?
Second.
We need a second.
I'll second.
Joy, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, now we talk about the streets. There was somebody.
Sure, I'd like to bring Stuart Robinson from discuss the NPO's efforts to establish a complete streets office.
Thank you very much, Fran. Members of BG PAC, I am Stuart Robertson with Kinley Horn and Associates. Pleased to be here this morning presenting the revised version of the NPO's Complete Streets policy. Complete Streets is an approach to the planning, design, construction, and operating and maintenance of our streets and roadways that begins to shift the balance into more harmony between pedestrians, cyclists, transit users, motorists, trucks, to where we're creating more of an even playing field. That's kind of the idea of Complete Streets, is essentially to provide that level of accommodation and appropriate space and appropriate facilities for all user types of a roadway. So why are we looking at Complete Streets? Why is something like this important? There are several reasons, one of which is safety. Palm Beach County ranks consistently in the top 4 or 5 within the state of Florida for the number of pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities and injuries. And even within a national perspective, if you look at our ranking for fatalities on a per capita basis, the metropolitan area that we're within, which is the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach metropolitan area, consistently ranks in the top 4 in per capita fatalities for pedestrians and cyclists. So there is a safety need to address our transportation safety considerations. Secondly, it would be to provide a more balanced look at the types and means of transportation that people choose. In particular, the journey to work trip, which is a question that's captured by the U.S. Census Bureau in their American Community Survey product. They ask folks year after year, what is your primary means of transportation to work? So it gives us a good data set that we can compare various geographies as well as over time. And typically what we find in Palm Beach County is that obviously the mass majority of people are traveling alone. About 80% usually are traveling alone to get to work. And so multimodal trips are the remaining 20% or so. And about half of that 20% remaining are carpool type trips. About half again of the remainder are actually work at home. So the remaining for walking, public transportation, and cycling tends to be somewhere around about 5%. And so what we want to do is try to begin to improve that number by providing accommodations for more folks to be able to choose an alternative mode of transportation to get to work. There are also broader community and social goals that can be addressed by complete streets, one of which would be supporting the local economy. There are evidence-based studies that show that streets that are designed in this way through town center type areas tend to generate more economic development for their municipality. Promoting physical activity, having this type of infrastructure can help provide space for folks to get exercise, not just recreation, but also a lot of people are motivated to walk or bike to work, at least in part, by the exercise benefits that they would get, which tends to solve many of our modern health challenges in the 21st century with things related to hypertension disorders, obesity, things like that. We can begin to work on those issues on the transportation side. And also there is a sustainability or resilience improvement as well. In these forms of green transportation tend to have less emissions associated with them than traveling alone in automobiles. Complete streets certainly were not invented here in Palm Beach County. Many municipalities, TPOs, MPOs, state governments are beginning to adopt some form of a complete streets policy. Everyone has a policy that's a little bit different. It needs to be developed in a way that fits the context of that individual community. But many municipalities and county governments have adopted, including West Palm Beach is on the list as having prior adoption of a complete streets policy. So this slide presents the timeline of activities related to the policy. You may remember back in September, the initial draft of the Complete Streets policy went through the MPO committees and MPO board process. Since then, there have been a number of workshops. In addition, a working group has been established that meets regularly to discuss not only the development of the policy, but also to begin to transition into implementation of the policy. That's the Complete Streets working group. And now here we are in March with the revised Complete Streets policy coming through the MPO committee and board process. So this slide kind of presents some of the purposes of having this particular policy. It's first of all to accommodate both the safety and convenience of all types of surface transportation users. But this also can provide a framework for ultimately the creation of a connected network of these types of streets. This policy also recognizes that all trips begin and end as a pedestrian trip, whether you're parking your car on street and then walking to your final destination, or walking in your driveway, or walking in a parking lot. We are all pedestrians at some point within every trip within the transportation network. And finally, to establish transportation user considerations, which provide a framework for decision-making within an individual project. So the pedestrians, as you can see from this graphic, is the largest circle because we want to start with accommodating of the most vulnerable type of road user first. So we're looking at the pedestrian as the first decision-making point. What's good for the pedestrian? We also see within this hierarchy bicycles, transit users, commercial vehicles because of the need in many downtown and town center type areas to ensure that appropriate space for loading activities, for example, are being accommodated. And of course, personal vehicles as well have their place within the user considerations. But it's essentially to provide an approach for decision making within a transportation process. The Complete Streets policy itself establishes both the what that the MPO will be doing as well as how it will be accomplished. So the MPO aims to achieve a safe and convenient transportation network by implementing complete streets within the context of Palm Beach County's unique and diverse communities.
And then the how, the second sentence here, the MPO will seek to promote complete streets by prioritizing the funding of complete street infrastructure projects, providing educational opportunities such as the workshop with national experts that was held back in December, and encouraging local jurisdictions to adopt and implement a complete streets policy of their own. It's not enough just for the MPO to have a policy, because the MPO has a certain purview related to state and federal transportation projects. But it's really important for local implementation agencies such as municipalities and county governments to also have their own form of a complete streets policy, which oftentimes will look quite different because of the role of those agencies as implementation agencies. Complete Streets is entirely consistent with the goals and objectives established by the MPO in the Long Range Transportation Plan. It also includes an approach called Vision Zero, which is the recognition that no level of fatalities are inevitable or acceptable on our transportation network. And so that's the ultimate vision, is to establish a fatality-free transportation network. Performance measures are established as well. The MPO can track progress over time by looking at things like the mode share for pedestrians, bicyclists, and transit users, and tracking that over time, hopefully to be able to see an increase. There's the current target listed within the performance measure table, as well as an interim target and a long-range target consistent with the LRTP cycle. Also, increasing the number of local jurisdictions that have an adopted complete streets policy, and increasing the number of annual workshops and events that are promoting complete streets. The applicability of the MPO's policy is going to be related to the state and federal transportation projects that it prioritizes. And so that is the purview of the MPO, and again, why it's also important for the MPO to promote having these policies within implementation agencies at the local level as well. So the next steps is to go forward to the MPO board, hopefully for adoption this month, to continue the Complete Streets Working Group that is meant to be an ongoing committee that is going to continue to meet on a regular periodic basis and begin to transition into the implementation phase for this particular project. That concludes the presentation that I have, but I would be happy to address any questions, and Valerie Nielsen from the MPO as well, the project manager for the MPO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the presentation. I know this came up at the working group when we were talking about the complete streets. Could you go to the slide where we're looking at the transportation user considerations? Okay. So I know we talked about this diagram at the group also, and I have more of a comment. I'm not sure I have an answer or an exact question, but I know that there's been a lot of conversation lately around the hierarchy of these things, and specifically bicycles versus public transit, and which one should be considered after pedestrians. And I know, like, one of the cities that has just come up with their hierarchy saying that public transit comes before bicycles is Chicago. And they did a really good job on stating why. So I would just maybe ask staff and maybe bring it up at the next working group on which one of these really does come before the other, because we're setting up, this sets up the probability of design guidelines to happen. And if we're designing for bicycles before public transit, I'm afraid public transit is going to suffer if we don't have space, because buses and trains have very specific standards for design. Whereas bicycles, I think, are a little bit more malleable. So I would just say that maybe we should bring that up again as a working group, or if anyone has thoughts on that.
The hierarchy related to Chicago, but one of the things that is great about their hierarchy is that they actually establish a hierarchy for each individual project based on the context of the street. So they give themselves the flexibility to do a different hierarchy for different types of projects. So I think it should be obviously context specific. And we also don't want to suggest that
bike lane to take the place of a transit shelter or something like that.
Well, maybe if that's just explaining it a little bit more on purpose, because I think it says pretty specifically that first during the project design, followed by, so pedestrians are first, followed by bicycles, public transit. So maybe if that language is massaged a little bit to add in that flexibility or site specificity.
And again, like, this isn't really saying that bicycles will become, like, will be more of a priority. It's saying, like, consider in this order when you're looking at a, you know, project, can we accommodate for pedestrians, can we accommodate for bicycles, can we accommodate, versus, like, let's just plan for cars and then, oh, well, too bad we don't have room for anything else. So it's kind of like, you know, if you get to the point of public transit and you say, okay, we put a bike lane here, but how are we going to accommodate the transit? It's just, you mean, you can work around it. It's just kind of like, let's begin the conversation at the beginning. And again, as NPO, we're not, we don't design the roads and we don't have roads.
Right,
so it's more of like a conversation.
When the city has come to adopt their own guideline, we're going to look at this and have to or want to be consistent with what is the policy at the NPO. So, I mean, I would just consider, I'm not, like, you know, I'm sure I don't have the exact answer, but I know that BCT has been struggling with this in Broward. Their buses, like, they were saying that they were planning for bike lanes and they wanted to cut their transit lanes into, I think, 10 feet. And BCT is like, that is absolutely impossible. Our buses with our mirrors are 11 feet. Like, and it was just an argument going back and forth between bicycles and their transit. Which one has a bigger impact? I mean, I know it's not a strict hierarchy, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's not dire, maybe it's the back image that kind of adds that level.
The NPO has a little bit more flexibility or guidance with the money that we can give to pedestrians and bicyclists. Of course, we do have funding that shows up in our tip for public transit as well, but when you consider our grants and the amount of funding that we're able to give towards those modes versus others, then I think maybe there is a case for bicyclists being ahead of public transit.
I have the privilege or the burden, I'm not sure which one it is, of being the only person that sits on both the NPO's technical advisory committee as well as the NPO's bicycle greenway pedestrian advisory committee. So I get to see these presentations back to back, most of these issues and so on. But I also hear kind of some of the discussion of the other committee. Something that I wanted to bring up that was discussed at yesterday's meeting of the TAC with regards to these policies, there were two things that the committee recommended, modifications or tweaks to the document that we have here. And I agree with them, so that's why I wanna bring them up. One was the inclusion of a definition as to what is complete streets. And actually Stuart already went through the definition on one of the earlier slides there, basically defines what complete streets are. To me, that is a good definition, but again, it's not included in the document itself, the document that we received. So the TAC did recommend adding a definition to the policy, something, again, just like that, which I think is a common but good definition. The second one is there was some discussion about the design or the look of the concentric circles. And as for those who were at some of the previous meetings, we had the inverted pyramid, and then the decision was to do some sort of circle similar to what we have in there. But there is when I first opened the document, my first reaction, the first thing that I saw was the middle of the circle with the private vehicles. While I understand that is not the intention of this, just from a visual standpoint, that's what caught my attention, and a lot of people had a somewhat similar comment. So one of the suggestions was to make some tweaks to maybe font size or even the dimensions of each of the circles, so the pedestrians and bicycles and transit and so on become a little bit more prominent or more visible in relation to the last circle but the central circle of the private vehicles. So I would suggest, consistent with what the TAC recommended yesterday, to make those two modifications to the policy itself. I think again, the definition makes it more clear as to what we're talking about, and again, some slight tweak to the visuals of the circle. It's not a modification to the concept, but just some slight modification to the visual.
Stuart, you mentioned that this is the vulnerability of each of these groups, and from that standpoint, it seems like it's a little easier to understand that pedestrians are extremely vulnerable, cyclists are wide open vulnerable, and all these other things become less vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And but we want everybody to be safe, and we don't want anybody to get hurt. But if you put that comment along with that image, then you're going to have.
It was just that when you just see the image by itself, it wasn't as apparent.
It shouldn't be the importance of cyclists is more important than a car. It's just that they're more vulnerable. Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, it's like this, the visual is just supposed to be kind of like an image, so it's not all text, but it's been like the topic of discussion for like hours and interpretation, and you know, it's like not
so we're overdoing
the policy, but you know, I think, yeah, as Alex mentioned, the previous group or the TAC meeting yesterday said that they recommended making the, if you could go back to the slide, making the text bigger for pedestrian, because right now it's kind of like you know, like making the text bigger so that there is some sort of like stands out, but with the vulnerability, I think that's true until you get to, I mean, I could still argue for public transit because we can make, you know, as a transit user, maybe you're more vulnerable, you need more lighting, you need safety around, but then when it gets to commercial vehicles, they're, you know, I don't know about how vulnerable like
I was thinking in terms of like a truck unloading, you know, like a UPS truck, and he has to go into the middle of a lane, or he can go to the side, that kind of thing. So, to me, if they were to make any suggestions, I would be transportation user vulnerability consideration.
So we should do this as a psychological test.
What do you think about this? What comes to mind? Mention the first words that come to mind. So,
do we want to make
it?
Just eliminate the slide. I'm not talking about hours.
Do we want to make any motions to this?
I will make a motion to adopt the complete streets policy with inclusion of a definition mm-hmm. for complete streets and look at options for maybe doing some tweaking. I want to say specifically what, maybe modifying the font of the circle.
Just bullet point.
The font size as well as the width of the circle.
So maybe some modification. I mean, I don't want to go into the details, but maybe just looking at some slight tweaks to that graphic to basically make pedestrians and bicycles and transit more prominent.
Yeah, the focus of your eye when you first look at it should be pedestrians, bicycles, and font size as well as the width of those concentric circles, I think, will help to achieve that goal. And we can also ensure that or add the discussion of vulnerability into the intro of this graphic within the policy document. So
I'll make a motion to add the definition, to add some discussion about vulnerability near the graphic and make some tweaks to the graphic to again show what the intent is.
A second to that motion?
I'll
say.
I have discussion.
Yes.
In general, the safe complete streets policy, can you go back to the policy for a second? You know, I've been a very long-term member and advocate in BOCA for the very long time. And everyone is completely aware that Jupiter and BOCA were the leaders 25 years ago with having several policies that state the same exact thing. But we're not listed anywhere because we don't have an official document that says complete streets. And I think it's unfair that they don't recognize other cities that have been the leader all along. And just because they technically have not revised all their policies to say complete streets through our resolutions and council, we're not being recognized. Is there any way that they can include the old cities and say, you know, under old policies or under review or something? Because for people that are new, would have no idea that BOCA is even has any type of policies like that. So it's just, it's not fair.
For a long time.
Just because this whole new federal thing came out with this new, you know,
new terminology, we're like kind of off the list.
There needs to be a list of the grand champions.
But it's so unfair. All of our
she's offended because West Palm Beach is there.
Well, the PSU, Jupiter
and Boca are not there. We were the leaders. Susan Kennedy, who's used to be the chair here in 1995, and I started the lead here.
So the list, there's like obviously hundreds of thousands of municipalities in the United States, and there's actually, I think, close to 1,000 policies in the National Complete Streets List database. In Florida, it's almost 50. But because the National Complete Coalition can't, like, doesn't know, you know, the that if someone doesn't have a policy but it's listed in their comp plan or whatever, it's up to the city to go and, like, submit it on their website and say, hey, we have a policy, or we have, what, you know, whatever, or make it crystallized that, hey, this is our policy, it's in our comp plan, or whatever it is, you know? But you guys as a city have to go to them on this national database for the country, and then you'll be listed under Florida's Complete Streets policy. So the almost 50 are from, as of, like, the last update, which was, like, last fall or last summer, for Florida. And if you go back to that slide, you'll see, you know, it's even, like, really small, I mean, I don't know, some towns I've never even heard of. But you know, so these are all cities or towns or TPOs, MPOs, whatever, that have counties that have submitted to the National Public Streets Coalition that, hey, our, this is our, we have a policy, this is our.
It's interesting, like number 15, Frost Group. I've been there. It's actually two streets and one stoplight. Truly, that's what it is. That's what Frost Group is.
I just want to make that clear as well, because, you know, as part of our Bicycle Friendly Communities Award that we've been, I don't know how many years we've had that, is we included that.
Yeah.
That our complete, we do have complete streets policy, and we listed all the comp plans. So I didn't realize
before
that.
Before you leave.
Do we have any, go to the National Complete Streets Coalition website? It does list, as Valerie mentioned, all the different policies, but it lists them by type. So some of them are ordinance-based, some of them are legislation-based, and I believe one of the types is comprehensive plan. So I think there would be space within that category for those conditions that
ours is comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
But in 2008, as part of the EAR-based amendments to the comprehensive plan, I drafted language for the transportation element to include an objective and a series of policies in our comprehensive plan, calling for the establishment of complete streets and all of that. So that's how we are there. And it went to at the time DCA, the Department of Community Affairs. They liked it and actually made it to APA and others. But ours is comprehensive plan language.
Okay. Do you want to make a change to our proposal?
No, I just
want to
make. In case anybody asked about
voting, your party.
Yeah, because I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad that it's not there. I mean, a year and a half ago, I actually tried to implement official language, but it just takes a lot more time.
We're making it official
this next couple months.
Do we have any further comments?
Alex,
we
are the lead.
Yes. Sorry. Can we start this whole program? Do we have any other comments on Alex's book?
Behind you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So this is new terminology, I realize. Is there an official way to encourage combining transportation? For example, like walking's great, but realistically, how many people live close enough to their jobs to walk? Like, I work with a young person with a disability who bikes, and he's able to put his bike on the bus or the train. I don't know if that's like standard, or if they just are doing a favor for him. Or I know that when I've tried to pick up people at the train station, sometimes it's just impossible to get a parking spot. I wonder if more people would use the train if it was just easier to park there. Like driving.
I don't know if it's a question, but just in the comment of the trains, Triral has now bike cars on their trains and bike parking at the stations now. That's just been recently implemented too. So trying to promote more of that.
Yeah, you can definitely take your bicycle on Tri-Rail trains. There's also bike racks on buses as well. And we didn't really, you mentioned a little bit about proximity. Of course, the LPO is focus on transportation. Other agencies have a land use responsibility review as well. And incorporating complete streets principles into the review of zoning codes and land use development is important as well, in order to try to do things like shorten the amount of trips, or shorten the length of trips that pedestrians have to take to get out of a neighborhood. You can have pedestrian shortcuts that connect to the street or connect to a school or connect to the adjacent shopping center to incentivize walking or bicycling to those places, rather than having to make the pedestrian and the bike follow the exact same circuitous path that a motor vehicle might have to take to get out of that neighborhood. So there's definitely a development review application component to complete streets as well.
Coming back to Alex's motion, is there any other comment on that?
Go for a vote?
Yeah.
So, all in favor of Alex's motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes?
Motion to recommend approval of the 1621 TIF.
So this information was provided in your backup. As you know, we have our TIF document, which is updated every year, and new TIF is produced every 5. And this amendment is a housekeeping item. We anticipated that Palmtrain would have $16 million of their roll forward amount, and they actually had 5. Five to roll forward. So our new updated roll forward amount is 221,214,181 dollars. So it's that housekeeping item and for your
I make a motion to recommend approval of the amendment to the fiscal year 1621.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You can give us a
there was a tie between Sammy and
okay, now we'll move to information items. Commuter challenge update.
Hey, so update on the Commuter Challenge. Happy Word of Bike Month and Happy Commuter Challenge Month. We no longer have a countdown because it started this week. So if you haven't signed up, created a team, or joined a team from your place of work, please do so. This is what the website looks like. I've shown this before, but we have a billboard now up off I-95 South by Atlantic Avenue. We also have our Commuter Challenge bus that's a bus route on one of Palmtrain's bus that's running on the most popular route of US 1 up and down on the Bolt. So keep an eye out for that. Here's a picture of the billboard. So look out for it near Delray. Also, if you haven't try it out, Transit app, check it out. It's a really user-friendly app to plan your, to see options for your trip by not driving alone all the way from here to Miami-Dade County. It's really used around the world in urban areas around the world, but just if you have a chance, check it out here in Palm Beach County, because it'll show you your options, including Charrel, Palmtrain, the bike share, anything, cargo, anything that's available, and even compares you to Uber and tells you how long it would take. So the good thing is that if you're planning to go to Broward or to Miami-Dade County, it'll sync the connections with BCT and MDT for like your trains and tell you where you gotta walk, exactly what time the next thing's gonna pass, so it plans out the whole thing. So it's a really, it's called Transit App, so it's really user-friendly on your smartphone. So the con for those of you that
at Calvin and Lawson's, your perfect custom solution begins with a complimentary design.
Just in case you were, nervous.
Oh, now I'm awake.
So this is a countywide competition during the month of March. It's between places of work, so encourage co-workers and businesses compete against similar sizes. So any trip made within or to from Palm Beach County for work counts. And you have basically any trip that's made by not driving alone, so by a trolley, train, bus, carpool, walk, bike, or skateboard, rollerblade, other non-motorized mode also counts. And we're part, this is an initiative led by the FPO, but partnered with our transportation partners here in Palm Beach County. So when you sign up, when you go to sign up, it'll ask you to join or create a team. And then if you're going to join, you join the team from your place of work. But if there is no team from your place of work, you can create one. And you'll select what the total employment size is at your business. So if you work for Costco, you probably have a big employment size. If you work for a small local coffee shop, it's probably small. So the way that this kind of game works is that you'll be, your team will be categorized into a category with other teams of businesses of similar sizes. So Office Depot and Costco are competing against each other, and then the local photographer and, you know, coffee wedding planner are in another category. So so far we're on day three. We have 39 teams and four cities that have signed up, and we have already over 2,700 miles commuted, and approximately 1,200 pounds of CO2 saved as of right before this meeting. So watch out, because the Parks and Rec team is out there. They're biking to their work. But any work-related trip, make sure to sign up here. You can sign up anytime throughout the month, and you just have to log your trips within 2 weeks of when you did it. So it's by date and your total miles that you did. So it's not too late. So here's what I was mentioning. This is right before our meeting, our totals. So when you go to the leaderboard on the website, you can see totals, which is a sum of all the miles that have been entered to date. But then you can go into like each business category, and then you'll see a leaderboard for that business category with the top commuter and the top teams. But this is just a total rundown of all the miles that have been done in the last 2 days, basically, and this morning. So really excited that we're off to a great start, and hope you guys will participate if you're not already. We're going to be doing a culminating event, a celebration at the end of this Career Challenge in Florida Bike Month. It's going to be on April 2nd, Saturday, from 9 to 11 at the West Palm Beach Waterfront Commons. We're going to be shutting down Flagler Drive right here. And not only is this an event to announce the winners and celebrate, but also it's an event to educate the public on bicycle and pedestrian safety, on transit programs. Skyback's going to have a demo station. We're going to have a safe walking simulation for kids, a bike rodeo from YMCA. The PalmTran bus will be there, the commuter challenge bus, to learn about how to dock your bike and learn about PalmTran. We'll have about 10 partner booths talking about educating about carpooling, transit, bike safety, helmet fitting, all that, and then a family-friendly bike ride along the waterfront, because we're also doing, at the same time, Palm Beach County Schools is doing a challenge with the schools to track, for kids to track their miles, bike, and walk during the month. So we'll announce the top then here too. So hoping that we can get some public from the Saturday market and, you know, get an opportunity to educate people. So please come and help us spread the word. During this event, we're going to be doing a transportation passport, like a transportation scavenger hunt. So I mentioned that we have 10 educational partner booths. We have 5 stamps of different modes of transportation. So basically, half of the booths are going to have one of each of these stamps during half the time, and the other half they're going to switch. So you're going to get one of these scavenger hunt passports, and you're going to have to get a stamp from each mode of transportation to be able to enter a raffle and also get a goodie bag. So that's to try and make it fun and people stick around. So the prizes, the prize categories, basically the top team out of each of the business categories is going to get a certificate, be recognized, and get a $100 gift card. The top commuters, we're going to have also some gift cards and different prizes, including a Skybike Month membership, a tri-rail model train and goodie bag, and then also Palm Tran Month Pass. So we're still open to, if anybody wants to sponsor additional prizes. We have, but for the schools, Parks and Rec gave us sports bags with four water park tickets inside of each of those. So that's going to go to each, the top student at the top three schools, and then we're going to get recognized the schools with certificate. And then the raffle winners, we have more stuff to give out to people. So, I think it's going to be a fun event. These are our prize sponsors right now: PO, Bike America, Palm Beach Parks, Tri-Rail, Palm Trans Sky Bike, and then these are the partner activities or the booths that we're going to be having there. So it should be a good event. As I mentioned, our current outreach is the Palm Tran bus, the billboard, interior Palm Tran and Tri-Rail signs. We also have lots of partners that are helping us promote this through their listservs, through their newsletters, through their websites. So our call to action is one last push. If you guys can take some flyers that are out there on the table and include on any newsletters, websites, press releases, social media, make sure to hashtag PB Commuter Challenge. So that's kind of our last call, and please participate. And the last but not least, an intro first. So yesterday we had, because of social media on Facebook, someone shared it on their Facebook page, and who was friends with a news reporter on Channel 5 News, who saw it and called and said, "I want to do a piece on this yesterday." So they did. They interviewed Alex, and then in West Palm Beach, and did this piece last night on Channel 5 News. So just a warning. Just a warning that the way that they presented this news clip was, they really highlighted what cities had signed up and which ones have entered any miles yet. So you'll see. This is a there's like a commercial. But yeah, so Boca's on the list, but you guys need to add enter some work miles commuted. I think only, last time I checked, it was only Andrew Meyer who had joined the challenge. So even though, and I told the lady from the news after the fact, I was like, they're doing a ride, they're doing a bunch of stuff, but you got to push some more city employees to set up.
We're having issues with getting it out on our website, because it goes through a whole other, we can't do mass emails anymore in the city.
Okay, but to your employees,
we can't do, they have to just want to accidentally go on the main page. It's like,
yeah, individually email.
Yeah, we can't do blasts anymore. So it's we've got flyers going out everywhere, but it's so easy. Years ago, when we could just do a blast.
Well, hopefully, at least maybe in your office where you work, you can get them to. I think we're good.
Oh no! So the media says that.
Thanks, Alex.
Come on. You can actually do something good for the environment. Take a look.
It's an eco-friendly competition between the city of Boca Raton, the city of Delray Beach, and the city of West Palm Beach to see who can save the most carbon during the month of March. It's a month-long event called the Palm Beach Commuter Challenge, encouraging all commuters in Palm Beach County to use alternate methods of transportation, walking, biking, carpooling, or even taking the trolley to work instead of driving alone. Lisa Herman is heading up the city of Delray Beach team.
If you can call it a team, so far it's just me. Anybody else from the city can sign up and they've joined the same team, so that would be nice to have some help.
Right now, Lisa is on the leaderboard twice. She's in second in the
team. And the numbers are increasing over the last couple of hours.
I hope that they have as many people participating. I'm pretty certain that they're not going to be able to beat West Palm Beach.
She asked me to say that.
Walk, bike, or even take the train during the month of March and put your team on the leaderboard. Reporting from Palm Beach County, Rachel Lato for The Now.
Rachel, sounds like a lot of fun. To sign up or join a team, just head over to pbcommuterchallenge.org. Now, at the end of this month, there will be an award ceremony with prizes for top teams and top commuters, too. Sounds like a fun competition. Rachel, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can shame everybody.
Oh, God.
It's on our Palm Beach MPO's Facebook, but we'll send it all to you, the link as well.
Thank you.
So, I'll do the Facebook.
They're not going to have a request from me. You see, then I did what I was supposed to do, encourage others to.
Wow.
showing or proclaiming Florida Bike Month in your local jurisdiction. So we were actually able to receive notifications that various jurisdictions are doing that. So we want to shout those
people out. You see that dumb guy at the end of the picture?
Second from the right.
So this is a list of those that were able to do the Florida Bike Month proclamation. I did learn as of yesterday that Del Rey is added to this list on March 15th. They anticipate doing their proclamation as well. So we're really great that, really grateful that you're participating in that way and kind of shining a light on Florida Bike Month. As you may know, you probably are already aware of bikepalmbeach.org and all of the resources that are available to you. One of the features of the website, bikepalmbeach.org, is a calendar. This is a snapshot of the calendar that was taken a few days ago. And it shows some of the events that are happening throughout the month of March. Feel free, we definitely encourage you to actually submit the events to this calendar. It's open for you, and then it comes to us, and we approve the events and pop them on our calendar. So
and so you look at the 19th?
Yes.
Look, it's happening to arrive that Nick's actually coming down the
road. Seats 7 through the 11. Baltimore Week, West Palm Beach.
We're going to have a couple of the events.
Not one day, a week.
It's with our guests.
So that's a good segue.
Yes,
I'm actually highlighting a few of the events that we're doing this month. So one of the events that I'm highlighting is the Bike to Work Week, West Palm Beach. They're culminating event in the ride with Hal Valachek, Vice Mayor Valachek. Westgate Bike Rodeo, the Boca Raton Bike Month Ride, and then also in Lake Worth, we're going to do an Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow event. So I'll give you a little bit more information on those things. So first, on March 11th, Vice Mayor Valachek is participating in a ride from the North County Courthouse all the way down to downtown West Palm Beach, and it kind of ends at the steps of City Hall in West Palm Beach. Well, he'll be welcomed by a kind of a celebration. So it's an 11-mile ride altogether, but we have pickup points designated in case you want to kind of break that up and bike in from a 6-mile or 3-mile point. You can join in at Kelsey Park or Curry Park, respectively. So that approximately should last from 8 to 9 a.m. on that Friday. Next, Westgate Park and Recreational Center. They just unveiled a new playground, and we're really excited to partner with them again. Last year, we partnered with them to do a bike rodeo, and so we're going to do it again this year. Last year, we had the Sheriff's Office come out and do some helmet fittings, and of course, a bike obstacle course to improve kids' skills on bikes, and so we're doing that this year, in addition to a green market and health screenings, so it's really kind of a good resource for the community altogether. So really excited about that. That's again March 19th from 10 to 12. On the same day in Boca, Boca will be celebrating their Florida Month with a bike ride in conjunction with their annual health and wellness experience event that they're doing with CBS News Channel 12. We have the NPO board chair and mayor of Boca, Susan Haney, will be participating in the ride from Meisner Park and coming back around through the downtown. So we're excited about that. So great events happening on that day. And then our very last event to kind of highlight for you this morning is an Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow event we're doing in conjunction with Florida DLT. They have a community safety, traffic safety teams that we're working with. So we're doing an outreach event near the swap shop, which is approximately on Legworth Road near the intersection of Davis Road. There's a lot of pedestrian activity when the swap shop is open. They're typically open on Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We're going out there on Thursday from 9 to 1 and talking to some of the pedestrians and kind of giving them more information on how to be safe. One thing that we've learned is that there's a pedestrian signal that actually doubles as an emergency signal for the local fire station. So pedestrians can use the signal to cross safely to the other side, but a lot of pedestrians haven't been using the signal. They've instead chosen other points. mid-block crossing points to use. So we want to educate them that they can use that TED signal and cross safely to the other side. So we're excited about that because we're hoping that we can continue to do more educational events in different locations and, you know, kind of understand why people understand the pedestrian and cyclist behavior and how we can educate to get safer results. So with all of those great things happening in Palm Beach County throughout Florida Bike Month, our last question to you is, how are you celebrating Florida Bike Month? And that's an open question.
Thank you, Daryl. Francesca. Okay, talk about East Coast Greenway survey.
Okay. One other presentation to you guys. So I know we've been talking previously about the East Coast Greenway and making sure that we have kind of an understanding of the alignment of the East Coast Greenway. I wanted to, or NPO staff wanted to send out a survey so that we can better understand the alignment of the East Coast Greenway, what parts have been constructed, what is funded for, or what's programmed for funding. And the importance of this is the Central's funding that's coming available to us. So just a little bit of background on that. The Central's funding will allocate $50 million statewide for regional scale trails. And East Coast Greenway really fits into that regional scale trail as it runs from Maine all the way down to Key West, Florida. So being able to put ourselves in line for that funding, we want to say that we know what needs to be constructed and what has been constructed and the alignment of the East Coast Greenway. So with that said, sure.
Do you need to know the route to Florida?
Yes. So there is a map on the East Coast Greenway's website. I'm not sure that site is up. It's map.greenway.org. So we do have the route that you're able to see online. There's a website through the East Coast Greenway's website or a web page. But with our survey, we do want to clarify that what the East Coast Greenway has shown on their map is, in fact, what municipalities, stakeholders through that alignment anticipate. So with the survey, we'll see a tentative map of what the East Coast Greenway has, and if what they have aligned for your jurisdiction isn't what you anticipate, feel free to let us know. Again, this is the East Coast Greenway's website. The webpage is map.greenway.org. On the map, it has the line in blue and green. The blue indicates what has yet to be built, so proposed. The green is already built.
The city of Delray, about, I would say, maybe 2 months ago, requested or got approved through resolution the East Coast Greenway, and we separated it into complete versus incomplete. And it passed through City Commission, and we're going through, we're requesting information from the MPO, and I'm getting a big circle. Do we, as Delray, make a presentation to the MPO to take it to the next step? Is it automatically blessed through the MPO? We don't understand who presents to the MPO, and just for, I would say, at least 3 weeks now, we don't have a clear definition of what to do with that resolution that the City Commission blessed to give to the MPO.
It's our understanding that the MPO doesn't need to be involved going forward, so getting designation through the East Coast Greenway would just have to happen through the East Coast Greenway Alliance. We do understand, though, there may be some questions about the alignment of the railway, so we encourage you to engage your neighbors to the north and south to, you know, make sure that those connections are still.
going to be targeted for future funding or whatever, people need to know it's not just merely constructing.
Okay, that's
the intercoastal bridge that goes right over, you know, here. Yeah.
So that's a good kind
this,
of
thing. Yeah, the second one, the line three, the construct 10-foot Sherby's pathway on the west side of the roadway, that's actually installing, you're going to have to install a drawbridge.
So that's a good segue. What we want to do is actually email this out to all of you and all the members so that you can let us know. What we've tried to do is fill out columns A through H. Feel free to correct any of those columns. Okay, so line three, I'll make that note. And if you could make sure that what we have, the information that we have from I over is correct, we'd appreciate that. So what we'll try to do is indicate the jurisdiction, of course the facility name, if it moves from Ocean Boulevard or not. And then we try to do major intersections for if there was a facility change. So it's broken up for major intersections, and then we estimated the width from maps, GeoMap, and then saw if it was formally designated via the map that we just showed. So if you could follow up in that similar format and respond to that, responsible second.
Alex? In the East Coast Greenway map, there were two colors there. One was the green, one was the blue. Do you know what the distinction is between?
Blue is proposed and green is existing, or designated, I should say. So green is designated, blue is under.
And I think we had this discussion a few months back, but again, I've sent you the resolution that West Palm Beach passed, mm-hmm. I think it was like 13, 14 years, which covers pretty much all of the city. I mean, Flagler, which is different from on the map depicts. So that's a discussion that I guess we need to have just to see what it's more of a with East Coast Greenway. I'm not sure. I presume that was relayed to them at the time. I wasn't with the city when this happened. But there's a discrepancy. The what West Palm Beach approved in a resolution, or the city commission approved in a resolution, was pretty much the full length of Flagler, which covers almost the entire city, 90% of the length of the city. But again, only portions of that are reflected in this map. Because then, as you see there, Southern Boulevard, it moves to the island, to the town of Palm Beach, and then heads south. So let's say the southern half of West Palm Beach does not seem to be included, but the resolution that we approved designated the full length of Flagler.
Okay, and
then, I'll send you that information. I mean, I think I sent you the resolution a few months back when we had a preliminary discussion on this subject.
And you all should expect the survey to be sent out to you electronically, hopefully no later than the beginning of next week. We'll try to get out to you sooner than that, so that you can respond and make those notes clear. What we anticipate is forwarding the same information over to East Coast Greenway, who's been in talks with Florida DEP about central funding. So that's where our next steps are.
I'm sorry, just a follow-up question. Also on this spreadsheet, the information that you have there is what you think the map is reflecting, or is it based on some information that you got from East Coast Greenway saying, okay, this is what they think it is encompassed by the Greenway? I mean, as far as the existing width and whether it's the west side or east side of the roadway, because if you look at the map, it's just a line there, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, we tried to zoom in as much as we could on that East Coast Greenway map, and the alignment tends to, in some sections, it looks like it's on both sides of the road, and some sections it's on the east or the
because
west.
Because even so the resolution that the city West Palm Beach passed just references Flagler Drive. It doesn't get into the specifics as to, okay, are we talking west side, east side, dimensional issues. So
is there some person at East Coast Greenway that we are in contact with? Or
yes, I've been talking to Herb Pillar and Ed Weiss.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've been involved in this for a while, but if you look on their website, they have several areas in all different states where you might have, like, in case you have the beach ride along A1A, but you also have flyovers. So, you know, the user gets to pick which route they want to take. Because it's not supposed to be, you know, like I-95, go all the way down. There's some opportunities for scenic path bypasses and things like that.
Did you have a question? Yeah, I wanted to ask, Alex, is any of this completed all through Palm Beach County now? Or are these routes completed?
Well, I cannot speak for Palm Beach County. I mean, at least it's West Palm Beach. I mean, because it was Flagler Drive.
I'm not West Palm Beach.
I'm guesstimating here because, again, I wasn't with West Palm Beach when this happened, but since we're talking about Flagler Drive, I presume that it was basically the, let's say, the pathway area that is right next to the water, which is complete, has been complete for a long time. So, and there's also a bicycle lane on sections there. So we have a pathway, which is a multi-purpose pathway. The width is shifts a little bit, is why there are some areas than in others. And then we have sections with a bicycle lane, not everything. So most of, there's facilities on almost all of Flagler Drive, different types of facilities. But again, that was kind of the question, because again, even the resolution was somewhat vague. It only stated from where to where along Flagler, but it did not specify some of those details. But just based on other discussions on Flagler, I mean, I assume that is that whole stretch that is right next to the water. At least most of the city, the north end is not next to the water, but we have a pathway there.
It seems like the objective here is to define all this real well, and so it's clear what East Coast Greenways believes it is, and communities in Palm Beach County basically agrees with. So I think you're going ahead and getting the data so that we can kind of put this all together.
Yeah, definitely. So,
but I would go back to Isaac's question. He's got a proclamation. I mean, the city is saying here it is, what it is.
Right.
There's a formal application process through the East Coast Greenway where you submit that support documentation.
Kirk Hiller, that gentleman's name, has been in contact with Charlie, who's saying they've been going back and forth. And I'm just copied on the emails, and I'm just letting them talk. But I'm going all. The last request was to Nick Irwin to say what we do with this resolution, and they were under the impression that they have to present, or the city mayor had to present to the MPO to get it official through Palm Beach County. And right now, I just put it in a folder.
But maybe share that with, my suggestion, share that with the MPO so the MPO can talk to them and get some clarification.
It is with the MPO.
Yeah. So I believe Nick has responded, and we shared that response with her. And again, our understanding is that the next step is for
the city of Delaware
to pursue that designation
through
East Coast Greenway.
Right. And that's Herb Hiller.
Yes.
But he's been notified. He's been on the groundwork since day one with Herb Hiller.
Our experience was we contacted them and said we'd like to include this in the trail. They sent their people out to kind of ground truth the trail, basically. And then we did a resolution, and they basically had their committee came down from, there were several of them, Maine, New York, I mean, mostly the New England states. Mm-hmm. And then they came down and we did an opening celebration. It wasn't that complicated. I think it's getting complicated unnecessarily because we just need to inform MPO, I think, of what we've done, but they're not the ones who designated.
I think our position at the MPO and our concern or suggestion, as Fran mentioned, is that if Delray is proposing within their jurisdiction to take it, you know, make a modification, take it inland and up, and then, but what happens after that, that's going to have like a ripple effect to like five communities until it can go back and connect with the original East Coast Greenway. So it's like, you know, wondering if you guys have communicated with those other towns to the north on, you know, how it's going to connect back to this East Coast Greenway, you know, versus just like, hey, we want to take it and end in the middle of where our jurisdiction ends.
We started at Highland being non-completed, and we ended in Boynton being non-completed. And that was we gave the overall map. And there was there's one section that is completed on A1A. The rest of the stuff is just out there, just a route. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem forwarding it to Highland and to Boynton, but if this is something that Herb has to agree to or Herb follows through, he's acknowledged our resolution also.
When was that process that you went through?
Oh, gosh, it's probably been 7 years ago. I mean, we haven't, there was a little, I'll just tell you, when internally the East Coast Greenway group was having, at the time Ruby was having an internal kind of policy discussion of did they want to be more trail-like or more urban, or, you know, they were having these discussions. So we just said, you know, here's what we think, we have an opportunity, and they worked with us to get to that. So, and we worked with Martin County where the connection would be, and obviously, you know, where the connection would be. So
my sense here is that you've got this huge piece of ward, which if you look at it, it's like a quarter or a third of the whole length of this thing. And Florida ought to get our act together and say, here is what the East Coast Greenway is in Florida, and communicate with East Coast Greenways, because ultimately whatever they decide is really what's going to be. But I think we need to just kind of plop in their face and say, here it is, and we should do it by county by county. But It's a volunteer organization. Some days it has some good people organizing things, sometimes not.
Well, they have political action in Washington, D.C., and that's what they, you know, so if we can support that, obviously, it helps us.
We need to support this.
Right.
From an organization standpoint and a detail standpoint, we ought to be kind of laying it out here. And we should be saying, you know, making sure that each community is fully behind it.
Maybe what I would suggest is all of the communities that it potentially touches, maybe invite Herb Hiller and maybe their director to come down and talk with our maps, and let's all sit in a room and plot it all out and be done with it. Then do a resolution as countywide, and then we can all start working towards that goal and get federal funding.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to work towards, at least kind of filling, you know, the information that you guys have to make sure that we're on the same page, and then, you know, we can definitely involve.
I would agree, because it's really, like you were saying, it's volunteer, and they do a great job, but the state of Florida is a long state, so we could
really
internally
direct this thing.
We could get Palm Beach County taken care of if we all kind of sat down and worked out a map with the two of them.
We can definitely involve her, and Isaac, I'll speak to you offline, I guess, about, you know, the next steps.
Summary points from the NPO board meeting?
So at our last NPO board meeting, of course, we celebrated and proclaimed March as Florida Bike Month. We also had some kind of engagement from the public about some safety materials, so for bicyclists in particular. So we're looking into that information and hoping to present that to the BGPAC so that if it's applicable to your jurisdiction, it could be helpful tools for you. Were there any other points to mention today? And of course, the motions are included in your packet for approval.
Okay. Any member comments? Alex?
Yes, I would like to introduce Heather Tribu, who's sitting in the back in the room there. Heather is a recently hired senior planner for the city of West Palm Beach. She just started this past Monday. And I'm introducing her because she's going to be my alternate in the future in this committee. Our for any appointment to a board, we have to go through city commission, which takes a while, and then I know then the board has to approve it. So probably be a couple of months realistically before we go to all the red tape, so that she's officially an alternate. But again, she'll be my alternate, and you may see her at some of the meetings in the future.
Any other comments? Then next meeting is April 7th. Anything noteworthy that's coming up on April 7th?
No, by then the TAP and LI